God and our Father, we're always good for us to open a meeting with prayer. And because we are truly dependent on you for the message, especially tonight, and to ask you for your help. As we look into your word once again, what a privilege it is to do so and to be occupied with what's in it. And so we ask you to bless our time together, and thank you for those that are able to be on tonight, and pray that there might be something said that would encourage each one and build us up in our most holy faith, a faith, the Lord, that we contribute to you because of your death on Calvary's cross and what you've done for us. And we want to honor you tonight and what is said and done. So we just commit the time to you, giving you thanks in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. What I had on my heart tonight was the subject of the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Oh, here comes Tillman. I'll wait for a minute here until he gets on. Hey, Tillman. We just prayed, Tillman, and so we're going to get started. And my subject tonight is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. And I enjoyed that as I read through the scriptures. And, you know, it's used many times, and we can't cover all the times it's used, but I just thought it was interesting that that subject, and since I've enjoyed it, I trust that I can pass that same on to you. I'd like to start with a few verses, kind of as an introduction, in Psalms chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29. It speaks of the voice of the Lord in several verses there. I'll just start with verse 4. Psalm 29:4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness." The Lord shaketh the wilderness, Kadesh. "The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." So here we see some characteristics of the voice of the Lord. And you see, it's a powerful voice. It's a majestic voice. We're going to read later. It's a quiet voice at times too. And sometimes the voice speaks in judgment. Sometimes it speaks in encouragement to us. Sometimes just as a warning. And I think it's important that we heed the voice of the Lord as believers. So Psalm, another verse in Psalm 77. Psalm 77, 14. We'll start with verse 14. "Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, and the lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook." So here we see some of that, the same term of the voice of the Lord thunders, and it does that as we read in these verses here. He shows forth his wonderful works, doesn't he, in his voice. In Psalm 85, a few chapters up, Psalm 85, verse 8 says, "I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly." He will speak. And we want to hear what the voice of the Lord is when he speaks, don't we? We want to listen to him. We want to do what he says. And that way we honor him, I believe. He will speak peace unto his people if we listen to him and obey him. And lastly, in my introduction, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 29. Middle of verse says, Deuteronomy 4:29. Seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord your God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. Obedient unto his voice. Verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. So out of heaven he issues his voice. And with those thoughts in mind, I want to look at several portions of scripture where his voice is heard, and see if we can learn something from each one. I'd like to just go right back to the beginning of the Bible and chapter 1 of Genesis at the creation. It's interesting, as we think about the voice of the Lord, we think of the Trinity. Clay talked about the Spirit last weekend, the Holy Spirit, and which is a member of the Trinity. And in Genesis 1, where God says, you know, when he created the heaven and the earth in the different days, says, let us make man, let us, so we know the Trinity is involved when he's speaking here in Genesis 1. In the creation, it doesn't mention anything about his voice, but it does say, God said, all the way through, God said in many of the verses. And then he gets to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then in chapter 2, verse 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and will make him a helpmate. So, and all these things, the creative week, and including the helpmate that he took out of Adam, a rib out of Adam's side, and made Eve. It says God said. Doesn't say anything about his voice until we get to the fall. Then he says his voice, and that is chapter 3, Genesis 3:8. After Adam and Eve had sinned, they went and hid themselves, tried to get away from God. They knew they'd done wrong. And in Genesis 3:8, it says, and God heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. I think that's the first time we read that, the word voice, in the Bible. God heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto Adam, or called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. So he was afraid. So when we disobey God and we hear his voice, we're normally afraid because we've disobeyed him, or we've dishonored him. And that was true with Adam and Eve. They heard his voice and were afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. So disobedience always is bad, and special disobedience to God. And now let's turn to another story about the voice of the Lord, and that is in Genesis 22, when it talks about the offering of Isaac. Genesis 22, we're not going to see disobedience, we're going to see obedience. We know the story, all of us. I don't have to go through the story. Abraham was told to God, says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. And of course, we know Abraham never one moment do we read in scripture where he hesitated or he questioned God. He just obeyed God and he went right up. He actually got to the point where he bound Isaac and took the knife out to slay his son. He was going to follow through because God said it, and he was going to be obedient to what God said. So in verse 16 of Genesis 22 says, let's go verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. See what obedience does? We obey, and God is going to bless him because of his obedience. And we know that's true. He's blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Jacob. He's going to bless Israel, even though they're against him this day, as in general, the Jewish people, that someday, and in a future day, they're going to be brought back. They're going to realize that they missed the boat, and that that Jesus was truly the Messiah. And they're just going to say, what are the wounds in thine hands? They're going to confess that he was the Messiah, and truly the Messiah. So at the offering of Isaac here, we see the voice of the Lord speaking to Isaac, because, or to Abraham, and honor him because he obeyed his voice. Now if we'll turn to Exodus chapter 19. It's at the time of the giving of the law. Exodus chapter 19, I want to read one verse there, in verse, I think it's verse 5. Exodus 19:5. Now indeed, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And in verse 8 says, we will do. We will obey your voice. Well, then God in chapter 20 gives the Ten Commandments. And in verse 18 of chapter 20 of Exodus, says that all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. These are some of the things that we read about in Psalm 29, right? When we first started. They saw the thunderings, the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that this fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. So the thought here, I think, even though it doesn't mention anything about voice, God was speaking. And if they obeyed God and kept his commandments, they would have nothing to fear. If they disobeyed him, they would have reason to fear, wouldn't they? If we go back to Deuteronomy 4 again, or up to Deuteronomy 4, we'll read a verse there in connection with this. Deuteronomy 4:12 says, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of his words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant. We just read about that, didn't we? Which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And they wrote them on 2 tables of stone. So ye heard the voice of the words. And they said back there in Exodus, they would obey. Well, we know that they didn't obey all the time. And we're going to read about that in Numbers now, chapter 14. This is the children of Israel in the wilderness. Here was their opportunity to obey that voice. And the Lord was so gracious, God was so gracious about taking him out of Egypt and leading him through the Red Sea. I mean, a miraculous event. The waters opened up so that they could cross the Red Sea. They should have been so grateful. But as we know, they continue to complain. They complain because they look back and thought about all the garlics and the leeks and those things that they enjoyed back there, even though they were under severe bondage. They forgot about the bondage part. All they're really thinking about is the food. God provided it so wonderful for them with the manna and with even meat, and yet they still disobeyed him. So in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall they see any of them that provoked me see it." So, and we know the story that none of the people that came out of Egypt, because of their disobedience, were going to be able to go into the land. What a tragic thing that what disobedience does, and not hearkening to the voice of the Lord. They even said, "We will do it, we will do it." But they didn't do it. So we have to be so careful ourselves. It should be a lesson for us, you know, that this wilderness scene, the children of Israel, the disobedience there should speak to us that we might not follow in their footsteps. The New Testament talks about that, doesn't it? So now let's go to let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and read about Saul. What is Saul going to do? Is he going to obey, or is he going to disobey? 1 Samuel chapter 15. We know Saul was the first king, and what an opportunity it was for him to do well. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, we know the story there. The children of Israel wrought a great victory, and the Amalekites were defeated, and they were told to destroy everything. And he meant everything. Well, we know what Saul did. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 15. And he was supposed to kill him, but he didn't. He kept him alive. Verse 20, "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God at Gilgal. Then Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs." So here was Saul in disobedience. He was told exactly what to do. He disobeyed. He said, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He only obeyed in part. He didn't obey completely. And the Lord is looking for our complete obedience, isn't he? He doesn't want us to make a decision about what's right and what's wrong. We want to completely obey him and do what he says. Listen to his voice and obey it. So then now let's go to 1 Kings and see what Elijah does with when the Lord speaks to him with his voice. 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, verse 8. "Elijah rose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You notice he didn't rebuke Elijah for thinking a lot of himself, thinking he was the only one left when there were many, many left honoring the Lord. But he speaks to him in a still small voice. So here we see another way the Lord speaks to people in a small, not a thunder and lightning and things, but in a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And so forth. That's probably as far as I wanted to read there, but maybe the next verse. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altar, and slain thy prophets with sword, and I, even I, only am left. And they seek to my life. They seek to take my life away. And then we won't read what took place after that, but I think Elijah learned a lesson here, but the Lord spoke in a still small voice at this time. So now let's look in Jeremiah chapter 3. It talks there about the remnant in the land during the captivity. Jeremiah chapter 3. In verse 12, Jeremiah is told to go and proclaim, let's go verse 11. The Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. So here's another case where the Lord's voice is not obeyed, but the Lord gives them an opportunity to repent. And that's really a wonderful, merciful thing of God, that he doesn't just smite us dead when we disobey his voice, but he, in his mercy and grace and love and kindness, gives us an opportunity to repent and to say, I've done wrong, I'm sorry, and ask him for his help to help us to go on and do the things which are right. In Jeremiah 42, in this connection with this same thought, Jeremiah 42, verse 5 says, then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we sent thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. You know, we know that they say this over and over again, just like we read in the Bible, a lot of people, they say, I have sinned, I have sinned. You know, Pharaoh said, I have sinned. He didn't really mean it, because he sinned again. And other times in the Bible, people say that I have sinned, and it hasn't been sincere. And so maybe, is that the case here? It says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They knew that it would be well with them if they obeyed, but they still then would go on and disobey the voice of the Lord. So even in the remnant in the land still had that problem of not obeying the voice of the Lord. So that's some of the verses in the Old Testament. I'd like to go now to the New Testament and look in Matthew chapter 3. At the time of Jesus' baptism. Matthew In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer, or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting unto him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here we see a man, the man Christ Jesus, who was always obedient, wasn't he? He's always obedient. And his Father in heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 8. Let's look at John chapter 8 in this connection. John chapter 8, verse 28. In the middle of verse says, The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. God knew that, didn't he? He knew that this perfect man, the man Christ Jesus, would always please him. And the Lord Jesus here acknowledges it, that that's his desire. In 1 John chapter 3, we read that we should do all things which are pleasing in his sight. What an example. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He did that which was pleasing to the Father. And he would expect us to do that which is pleasing to him, to obey his voice. So that's at Jesus' baptism. The Father could say, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's look in Matthew chapter 17 at the Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, the Transfiguration. We'll start with verse 1. We all know the story. And about after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They no longer saw Moses and Elias. Peter made a mistake, didn't he? To try to put Moses and Elias on the same ground as our Savior. And they saw no man save Jesus only. Because he is the one who is perfect. He's the one who the Father could say, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice out of the cloud said that. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here we see, at the Transfiguration, the same thing. The obedience of the Lord Jesus, the example for us to follow. Now let's look at John chapter 12, before the crucifixion. John chapter 12, verse 23. John 12, 23 says, And Jesus answering them, that's the Gentiles, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to them. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So here, the glory of God is in question here, isn't it? Not in question, really, but is to be. The Lord Jesus was to glorify the Father in John 17. We could just turn over those pages so I don't get it wrong. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his voice to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do, and so forth. So here, before the crucifixion, the Lord glorified the Father, and the Father glorified the Son. What a relationship they had with each other. They understood each other. We sometimes sing, glory, glory, everlasting be to him who bore the cross. And this glory, you know, I've shared this with, I think, about the, in the book of Revelation, there's a series of verses. They're actually doxologies that glorify the Lord. In chapter one of, you don't have to copy these down if you don't want, but Revelation 1:6, we have a twofold doxology, glory and dominion in Revelation 1:6. In Revelation 4, verse 11, we have a threefold doxology, glory, honor, and power. In Revelation 5, verses 13 to 14, we have a fourfold doxology on glorifying the Lord, blessing, honor, glory, and power. In chapter 7, verse 12, we have a sevenfold doxology, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Sevenfold there. And in chapter 19, we have a ninefold doxology. Alleluia, four times. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Salvation, glory, honor, power, and praise. Ninefold. And each one of these five references that I mentioned is the word glory, is the only verse or only word it is mentioned in all five. Glory and dominion. Glory, honor, and power. Blessing, honor, glory, and power. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Hallelujah four times. Salvation, glory, honor, power, and praise. This is toward the end of the Bible. And when we get to heaven, I believe, this is the way we will react. The doxologies or the honor and the worship and praise will increase the longer we're there, won't it? From maybe twofold to ninefold and probably even more. Glory to God in the highest. So now let's see what the voice of the Lord does at the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, where Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. So here we see it, the raising of Lazarus, the power of his voice in resurrection. The glory of God is in display here. We spoke of the glory of God. Here it is in display in verse 40, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. And here the Lord Jesus, in a loud voice, says, Lazarus, come forth. This is the only miracle that I noticed in Scripture where it mentions his voice being used in the miracle, of all the miracles that the Lord Jesus did with a loud voice. And we know how important resurrection is, don't we? If it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith would be in vain, as it tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15. And here it is with Lazarus. Just think of here, all the Lord Jesus had to do was speak with a loud voice, and it took place. You know, we read nowadays about voice activation, you know, voice activation. This, when the Lord speaks, this is not voice activation, is it? Voice activation, there has to be something that the voice, something physical that it comes from. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he speaks from nothing, you know, like in the creation. His voice creates things from nothing. So what a difference from voice activation, right? So this is the raising of Lazarus. We could, if we had time, we could read about Saul of Tarsus there in Acts chapter 9, where there was a voice too, and Saul, it says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He heard that a voice from heaven, and what a difference it made in Saul's life. So now let's look at Matthew 27 at the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. So there are times when the Lord Jesus doesn't answer with his voice. He answered when they asked him if he was the king of the Jews. He says, Thou sayest. But then when they were accusing him falsely, he answered nothing. He didn't have to speak, because it's foolishness to some of the things that they were saying and asking of him. He answered nothing. He answered him to never a word. But there's other times when we hear his voice at the crucifixion. After we look at verse 45 of this same chapter, Matthew 27:45 says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land till the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus cried with a loud voice here on two occasions. And the first time he cried with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And some have felt that it's because of the pain of what he was going through by being forsaken of God and being crucified and bearing our sins during those 3 hours. He cried with a loud voice. Verse 50, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. One of the commentators mentioned that they thought it was maybe because he demonstrated he died in strength, not in weakness. In John chapter 10, you don't have to turn to it, you know the verse well. John chapter 10 said, to show how he died in strength, says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. He still had a loud voice, even at that point in the crucifixion, when he yielded up the ghost. So now let's look at Revelation chapter 1 in connection with the rapture. Revelation chapter 1, or excuse me, Revelation 4, I'm sorry. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we write about the church, the history of the church, different stages, ending up with a Laodicea, which is so far from doing that which is pleasing to the Lord. But then after the church age, we have the rapture. In chapter 4, verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee all things which must be hereafter. So John, who writes his book of Revelation, heard a strong voice. I like to think of it as being the Lord's voice, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it kind of looks like it's maybe the voice of an archangel, of Michael. I don't know. We may not be able to answer that question for sure, but there is an indication in John's Gospel chapter 5 that could indicate that it was the voice of the Lord Jesus, even though it does use the term archangel in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In John chapter 5, verse 25, it says, verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So whether it's the voice of the Lord Jesus or an archangel, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. Just leave that there. But there was a voice, and it's from heaven, and saying, come up hither. There's a hymn that I've enjoyed. The shout, the voice, the trumpet, the Lord himself descends, his church to glory raise, all pure with him ascends. Our Lord shall come, we'll fly away to be with him, perhaps today. I'd say amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. Just a couple more before we finish. The voice of the Lord at the ascension. In Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 doesn't use the word voice here, but it says in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. Jesus spoke to his disciples. You know, it's been said, and I think it's true, that the only people the Lord saw after his resurrection were his disciples, or those who knew him. No unbelievers saw him after his resurrection. And then the Lord spoke to them, and then he was received up into glory. Now, how about those of unbelief and lack of faith? Let's look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3, a very common verse. We hear it quoted quite a bit. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 15 of the same chapter, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. This verse is taken from Psalm chapter 95. It's mentioned three times in the scripture. Pretty important, huh? It's a good verse for us as believers. We hear his voice. Don't harden our heart toward it. It's a good verse for unbelievers to bring them to the knowledge of salvation. Hear his voice. Obey his voice. Accept his way of salvation. Be eternally saved. And lastly, now I want to look at his voice in reference to judgment in Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1. The Lamb has opened the seals. The seals are all these judgments are coming forth. And now in chapter 16, verse 1. John says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 17 of this same chapter. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, earthquakes such as were not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities and nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give and her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and so forth. Judgment, the end of the times, earthquakes, the heart of man. It's the same, isn't it? You know what? Earlier in this chapter 16, verse 11 says, and they blaspheme the name of God. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. And then I think it was later on in the chapter, was it? The same thing. They blaspheme God. Yeah, verse 21 of chapter 16. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven and every stone about the weight of a talent. And man blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was very great. Here, right at the end of the age, instead of repenting, turning to God, it blasphemed him. Man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? And here's an opportunity for man to repent. And maybe even at the final time that he refuses to do so. So in conclusion, you know, we've looked at quite a few references to see the voice, how God, the Lord God or the Lord Jesus uses their voice. Sometimes in judgment, sometimes in encouragement, sometimes a still small voice. But I think the question I'd like to leave with us as we conclude is, do we have a personal relationship with the Lord so that we hear his voice when he speaks to us? It's a question I'd like to leave with us, including myself. Do we hear his voice when he speaks to us? You know, we don't see the Lord. We don't see God. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we know, I think we know when we're doing wrong. We know when he's speaking to us. We can tell because we have a conscience, and let's heed his voice when he speaks to us. So do those things which are pleasing in his sight, because we know he'll honor us for doing that. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, then we might hear that, well done, a good and faithful servant. And those things which are pleasing to him, he might recognize us. And I'm sure he will in that day. Should we just close in prayer? God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at these scriptures about when your voice is used and speaking to different ones, either in their act of obedience or their act of disobedience. We thank you, Lord, you're patient, you're long-suffering. And you want us to obey you, and we thank you that we have that opportunity, and we want to obey you because we know that someday we're going to spend eternity with you, and we want to go into heaven and knowing that we have pleased you down here. Lord, we're weak. We need your help, and we know we have your help. And so we just commit ourselves to you now, thanking you again for the opportunity to open your word together, and to thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Very precious meditation. I was thinking as far back as our minds might take us, when there was only the Godhead taking sweet counsel together. There was no discordant sound. Everything was beautiful harmony. And then the creation, all went well until sin came in. And when sin came in, they didn't want to hear his voice. And then with Israel, when sin came in, they didn't want to hear his voice. And yet there were some precious times where there were those that sat, we might say, speaking friend with friend. Abraham speaking with a friend. Sweet communion. What about the two on the Mount of Transfiguration? Sweet communion. But then as time goes on, there's more. The Lord came and he was amongst men, and if they only knew who they were talking to, they wouldn't have said those things. If they only knew who they were talking to, they wouldn't have mocked him and made light of him. Yet, he didn't turn away. He went, set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, and he was there. He spoke to a few from the cross. He spoke to the thief. What wonderful words that thief must have heard. And then he gave up the ghost. And I often wonder, a good gospel message, those that are lost, those that are saved, what's the last thing we're going to hear while we're here on earth? Come away, my love, my fair one, or depart from me. I never knew you. The voice of Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. I want to hear more of it. I want to enjoy it more. I want to have that sweet communion. I want to enjoy fellowship with the Father and the Son as we wait just a little longer for him to come and take us home. Thank you, Daryl. Precious meditation.
Thank you, Don.
I'll make a comment. Thanks, Daryl. I really liked your emphasis that listening to the voice of the Lord means to obey.
Ooh, right.
The Lord says about the unbelievers, they have ears, but they don't hear. In the context, they're hearing, but they're not obeying. They're not perceiving. They want nothing to do with them. So I really like that emphasis that you had. You know, quite a few years ago, I gave a message at a nursing home about the transfiguration. And what the Father said, this is my beloved Son whom I love. Listen to him. And my question to all of them was, who are you listening to? And when you read the passage in Saul, a few verses after you quit, Saul admits he sinned, and he said, I listened to the voice of the people.
Ooh.
That's what it says. And he didn't listen to God. He put the voice of the people above the voice of the Lord. And so he sinned. And we see that's what's happening today all around the world. People are listening to the popular, whatever's good, you know, and they're like waves tossed by the wind and go this direction and that direction. And so there is no truth anyways. But I just thought that was interesting.
Very
who
good.
Are listening to. And thanks, Daryl.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Daryl, thank you. You know, I think it's amazing, you know, oftentimes before we were saved, I don't, maybe any of you felt this, but you felt that God was this God way up there, you know, that doesn't have anything really to do with us because you don't understand and you don't know God. But from the very get-go, when he created the heavens and the earth, and when he created man, he spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, right from the get-go, you know, and he gave him, he says, everything is yours except one thing, you know. And then when they disobeyed, he spoke again. Adam, where art thou?
Right.
And I think Don referenced this too, you know, where I think of, you know, and then throughout when God does not make a personal appearance, as it were, in his, you know, and Job had that problem. And he asked the question, he says, he's not a man as I am that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman between us that we might, that might lay his hand upon us both. But, you know, so there was no tangible thing, as it were. You know, he would, like a theophanies, you know, he would come in, you know, as an angel of the Lord, or, you know, in the burning bush, and be, you know, but regardless of how he appeared, he spoke, you know. And with Moses, it talks, you know, and I think Don referenced this, you know, he spoke to Moses face to face as a man does with his friend. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was this, you know, like I think Don was saying, this communion between them, that, you know, he spoke to him as he was a friend, not some God and you're my servant, or, but as a friend, you know. And I just think that's amazing. But when we come to the New Testament, we see, you know, the answer to Job's problems, and that was the incarnation. That's why I think it's just so, you know, amazing, you know, that, you know, now God, you know, Emmanuel, God with us, you know, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you talked about Daryl, and we beheld his glory, you know, as glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's just, you know, now we have a man, you know, that comes, that can, a daysman that can come between us. And what did he do? He speaks to us, you know, and it's just amazing. God never stopped speaking. I think I tried looking it up, and I think it was like over 2,600 references, I think, in scriptures where it says either thus saith the Lord, or God speaks, or, you know, or something like that, you know. And he never stops speaking. He never stops. And you mentioned, Daryl, you know, in the future, he's going to do it again. He does it now, you know, through the Spirit of God. He's speaking to us, maybe not an audible voice, but he still speaks with us. And I just think that's such an amazing attribute of God, that he wants to communicate with us. He wants to have communion and fellowship with us, you know. Ooh. Just from get-go.
That's good.
So, oh, and another thing, Daryl, there was a couple other things I just thought to mind. You were mentioning that he didn't have other miracles when he spoke, but when he stilled the wind and the sea, he said, peace, be still. The little girl that was, that rose up, he says, how did he say that? Talitha or something. You know, arise. So there was things, miracles he did do that he did speak, you know. So, but yeah.
Very good, Joe. Thank you. He says, I have called you friends in John 15 there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes people don't speak to each other. And they go on for years not speaking to each other. The Lord doesn't act that way, does he? Like you say, he always is there to speak to us. He doesn't shun us. Anybody else? Daniel, have any thoughts?
They're probably more scattered than usual today. But I just was thinking how, you mentioned with Elijah, he heard the still small voice, but that was the Lord in grace, making himself known to Elijah. But the people who really heard the voice of God, they were threatened. I got bookmarked here, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 16. So he's talking to Israel. Moses is, and he says, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. There was power in that voice, and they didn't want to risk seeing or hearing it again, they were saying, Moses, you go and approach the Lord for us, because he terrifies us, you know. And then in Ezekiel 43, is that the same power, but it's in blessing. Verse 2, Ezekiel 43, verse 2, it says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And so this is in that future day when the glory again comes to Israel, and when they recognize their Messiah and whatever, but his voice of many waters, it's going to be, you won't miss it. And so I guess to kind of where I'm going with this is we remember the story in Acts 12 when Herod had a falling out. I'll just read in verse 20. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, because they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. Ooh. If they could only hear themselves talk, they would have never even made that comparison. But the Lord didn't have time for that, did they? And he smote Herod, and he died. But that was such a foolish comparison. There's no way it could have been anything close to resembling that voice.
Very good verses. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Keith, you have anything to share? I always enjoy your comments.
I'm always amazed at the comparison of the Lord's voice with thunder. Because sometimes you don't hear thunder out here in Arizona very often, but boy, sometimes a clap of thunder will just lift you out of your chair. And sometimes it'd be good if the Lord would speak to us that way and get us to act.
That's how he can get our attention, right? Keith, you're muted. You're muted, Keith.
There. Okay. That's better. I think it's in Exodus 15:26. After he had destroyed, maybe you mentioned this, I don't know. He destroyed Pharaoh in the Dead Sea with all his army. I have a hard time keeping up with these dry fingers and sticky pages.
I don't think I mentioned that portion, so go ahead.
But and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He had given him a nice motivator.
Yeah.
He had brought them through the Red Sea on dry land, and all their enemies perished in the sea when they were bent on bringing them into captivity again. So they had seen this mighty work of the Lord, and it was prime time to bring out this promise connected with if they will hearken to his voice. And yeah, right then, you know, there's a wonderful response. A desire to, and several times, you know, you mentioned there in, I think in Exodus 19, when he told them that if they would hearken to his voice, they would be a peculiar people to him, a special people above all the peoples of the earth. And then another time, there in Exodus 24, where he had was about to have them prepare for him a habitation, the tabernacle, and if they would do all that he commanded, that's connected with hearing his voice. They would be brought into wonderful blessing. And, again, they said, we will do all. And I think he takes them up on that at that point. And the offerings offered there, spoken of in Exodus 19, are burnt offering and peace offering. And the representatives of Israel, the 70 elders, I think it was, and Aaron and his four sons, and Moses went up on the mount and they saw God, the God of Israel. There was, you know, because of that, those offerings, the burnt offering and peace offering in type, they're brought into the presence of the Lord and didn't die. And they had fellowship. They ate before him. So, but when, you know, they made the golden calf, then everything was changed. They had put themselves under law, and oh my.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else have any final comments?
So what's his voice sound like? It tells you in Revelation, and then it gives you a hint back in Exodus, right? It sounds like a trumpet.
Ooh.
And it's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I'll tell you, I think right now that is exactly the case, that the voice of the Lord is actually becoming so clear and loud, and people are just ignoring it. We've heard so many messages about the coming of the Lord, and this one guy really had a cool message about he told Daniel, seal it up until the end. And this guy feels that these so many things are being unsealed. We're understanding a lot more about the timing, what's happening, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are ignoring it, because they don't want to hear it. But we as believers, it's getting us that much more excited. And you see in Revelation 1, and you brought it up, Daryl, are we going to hear his voice or the archangel? Sorry, I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord. He says everyone in the grave is going to hear his voice, and he's talking about the Son of Man. So the Lord descends from heaven with a loud command. That, you know, it says a shout. It also can be a loud command, you know, and it gives you a hint, right, in John 11. Lazarus, he calls him by name. I firmly believe, and only God can do this, that every single one who's going to hear his voice and be raised or ascend without dying, he's going to speak your name. and all at once, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be with him. So you got it right. I will say dogmatically, it says you're going to hear his voice. So we're going to hear the Lord, and I'm really looking forward to him calling my name because he knows me.
Yeah.
And I know him just because of his word.
That's good. And I was thinking, you know, in Psalm 29, it talks about the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The big fire that's going in Maui right now, you think, boy, maybe this is another indication that the Lord is just right, almost ready to come. You know, it talks about earthquakes and all these other things that are happening. And now we have this huge fire, which is, hasn't been anything like it for so long. And it just seems like another evidence that the time is short, like you say, gentlemen.
Well, I enjoy the thought that we want to hear his voice, but he wants to hear our voice.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear thy voice,
mm-hmm.
praise and adoration and worship, for he is worthy. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, let us hear thy voice. We have a little while before thy coming again. Let us hear more of thy voice in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.